Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is September 25, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about online lender Sophie to launch Bitcoin and Ethereum trading next week. Brazilian securities regulator bans Bitcoin, Forex broker. Crypto finance firm Circle puts research offering on hold. Bitcoin dips below $8,000 in first since June. Daimler carries out first transaction on Marco Polo blockchain trade network. Fold app raises $2.5 million to bring Bitcoin Lightning payments to Starbucks. Clues to explain yesterday's Bitcoin hash rate flash crash. Sophie launches zero-fee crypto trading for Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin. Kleiner Perkins backs $2 million seed round for crypto derivative data firm. Bitcoin shopping app Fold raises $2.5 million to bring Lightning to retailers. Crypto venture firm One Confirmation announces new $45 million fund. Bitcoin price risks drop to $7,500 after third biggest daily loss of 2019. Backed slow start doesn't mean Bitcoin futures have flopped. Barclays hackathon to attack data silos with blockchain. Now let's get started. Online lender Sophie to launch Bitcoin and Ethereum trading next week. Online lender Sophie announced its crypto trading platform will go live next Tuesday. Bitcoin, Ethereum and Litecoin will be the first digital assets available to trade on its Sophie Invest platform, CEO Anthony Noto told Fortune in an interview published on Wednesday. With the new platform, Sophie joins a number of digital-first trading firms including eToro and Robinhood to enter the crypto market. Noto said cryptocurrency trading option has been long requested by his firm's clients. The firm targets millennial investors through its student loan consolidation service. Coinbase was tapped to provide the firm's crypto liquidity, as previously announced in February. The partnership will also allow Sophie customers to track crypto price movements. The firm states it hopes to become registered in all 50 states within a few months, noting that trading will not be available in New York or New Jersey at launch. Brazilian securities regulator bans Bitcoin, Forex broker. The Brazilian Securities Commission, CVM, has banned a Forex broker offering Bitcoin, BTC, options, Cointelegraph Brazil reported on September 25. On September 25, CVM published a public warning of irregular action concerning XM Global Limited through the Superintendent of Market and Intermediary, SMI, Relations. In its warning, the CVM states that XM Global Limited is not authorized to operate in Brazil or deal with customers residing there. The CVM ordered the immediate suspension of investment offerings in the Forex or derivatives space. If the condition is not met, the firm will be fined 1,000 reals, $239, per day. Cointelegraph Brazil reports that XM is a major trading platform, but the Forex market is banned in Brazil and no company is authorized to sell these kinds of options in the country. The company started trading Bitcoin against the dollar in 2017. As Cointelegraph reported at the end of August, Thailand's securities regulator has also warned the public about scam entities posing as legal digital currency trading firms operating overseas. That same month, Zambian Securities and Exchange Commission CEO Philip Chitalu warned the public that the creator of the OnyxCoin cryptocurrency, Kwaku, is not licensed to give investment advice or solicit funds from within and outside the country. Crypto finance firm Circle puts research offering on hold. Cryptocurrency finance startup Circle has stopped its line of research reports saying it needs to reconsider the offering. In a post on its website on Tuesday, Circle reached out to consumers of the service, saying, "While we've made significant progress with our content offerings, it's time to evaluate our contribution and overall strategy. With that in mind, we've decided to pause Circle research activity for the time being as we decide on a future direction for the program." Circle Research had provided weekly and quarterly overviews of the crypto space, looking at markets, blockchain news, and industry news. The move may be a continuation of apparent cost-cutting moves by the firm, which offers cryptocurrency payments via an app, OTC trading and spot trading via its Poloniex exchange platform, acquired in February of last year. It's also part of a consortium including Coinbase that has launched a stablecoin pegged to the US dollar called USD Coin, USDC. 3 months ago, Circle said it would wind down the Circle Pay app, with a closing date for the service of September 30th. At the time, the firm's CEO, Jeremy Allaire, said it makes sense to focus more on USDC and wallet services that take a bigger step toward reaching our original vision for a free, open and transparent global payments network. And in May, 30 staff were let go, roughly 10% of its employees, with Circle citing market conditions and an increasingly restrictive regulatory climate in the United States as the reason. Bitcoin dips below $8,000 in first since June. Bitcoin (BTC) has once again shocked investors after a sharp sell-off Tuesday saw it quickly drop $1,000 in value during a single trading session. Over the course of 30 minutes, beginning at 1600 Coordinated Universal Time on September 24, prices dipped below $8,000, its lowest point since June 12 of this year. In addition, $30 billion has been drawn out of the market over a 24-hour period as investors sought to close their positions amid a frenzied sell-off. Eyes are now firmly fixed on the 200-day moving average (MA) that would officially mark the start of a new bear market should a strong close below $8,311 occur. The price drop may have been exacerbated by margin calls and contract liquidations on BitMEX, according to a previous report by CoinDesk. In any case, BTC's 2019 bull market hangs on a thread. As can be seen above, BTC has begun to break down from a bearish descending triangle that had been noted by a large portion of the crypto Twitter community since as early as September 2. Further, the $1,000 price drop flies in the face of BACT's recent futures launch, which was supposed to be a bullish catalyst but has so far fallen short of expectations. Technicals point to the possibility of a short-term bounce, courtesy of an extreme oversold RSI on the daily chart and weaker histogram bars below zero. However, a measured move, the drawdown from peak to trough within the triangle, adds scope for a continuation to prior June 2018 supports near $6,100. Pressure is on buyers to hold the defensive and retain the official bullish status above the 200-day moving average at $8,311. All prices below that point would add credence to a new bear market for the remainder of 2019. Daimler carries out first transaction on Marco Polo blockchain trade network. Automaker Daimler has carried out its first transaction on the blockchain-based Marco Polo trade finance network. The pilot commercial trade transaction saw the firm, which owns Mercedes-Benz among other brands, process the data required to exchange payments with engineering firm and parts builder DRR, according to a press release sent to CoinDesk on Wednesday. German bank Landesbank Baden-Württemberg (LBBW) was also involved in the trade. The pilot involved an order and delivery agreement for a balancing system from DRR subsidiary Schenck arranged over Marco Polo. Payment was prearranged through a conditional commitment from Daimler's bank. Once the ordered equipment was delivered, the fulfillment data was entered onto Marco Polo and automatically reconciled with the agreed transaction data, thus triggering an irrevocable payment obligation. Founded by startups R3 and Tradex, Marco Polo is built on R3's Corda blockchain platform. The network aims to deliver real-time connectivity, boost transparency in trading relationships, and lower barriers to accessing capital. Currently, arranging traditional paper-based payments for international trade transactions is inefficient and slow, requiring multiple systems and a number of intermediaries such as logistics providers, insurers, customs authorities, according to LBBW's announcement. The pilot conducted in minutes instead of days had persuaded DRR and Daimler that blockchain can make the process faster and simpler, said the bank. Suzanne Schlegel, CFO of Schenck and DRR Division Measuring and Process Systems, said, We focus on efficiency increases not only with regard to our machines and systems, but also to our business processes. The successful pilot project between Daimler and LBBW demonstrates the intrinsic efficiency potential of digital trade finance processes. Innovative platforms and technologies such as Marco Polo and Corda allow us to reduce complexities in order fulfillment to the benefit of all participants. The ability to automatically trigger payments was a milestone for the network, announced in August. Marco Polo's first such transaction involved LBBW and Commerzbank and saw logistics provider Logwin AG adding data to the blockchain to initiate the payment obligation. Marco Polo has also announced notable new members in recent weeks, with both Bank of America and MasterCard signing up to the project seeking new efficiencies in their trade finance businesses. Fold app raises $2.5 million to bring Bitcoin Lightning payments to Starbucks. The Fold app, a mobile shopping app that supports Bitcoin's Lightning network enabling users to withdraw funds to an external Bitcoin (BTC) wallet, has raised $2.5 million and added a fiat currency payment option. In a September 25 blog post, Fold's editor, Will Reeves, informed the public that the app's users can now spend both fiat currency and Bitcoin at online and in-store retailers by synchronizing their credit card or Lightning wallet. Fold has also enabled its users to stack sats when making purchases with fiat and Bitcoin at major retailers such as Amazon, Uber, Starbucks, and Hotels.com, further rewarding users for shopping in Bitcoin. Moreover, Fold revealed new partnerships with investors such as venture capital funds Kraft Ventures, Goldcrest Capital, Slow Ventures, Folger Ventures and digital asset management firm CoinShares, which resulted in a $2.5 million contribution towards further development. Other crypto rewards projects. Earlier this year, another Bitcoin rewards shopping app Lolli teamed up with major American grocery chain Safeway and pet retailer Petco to give customers 3.5% back in BTC on all their purchases. The company also added major booking service Hotels.com to its list of supported merchants. Meanwhile, American Express is also looking to achieve with its Hyperledger-based rewards platform, which is geared toward enabling partner merchants to create customized rewards offers for the financial corporation's clients. Crypto payments gain traction. Cryptocurrency payments are gradually becoming mainstream when it comes to the retail sector. The Kaspersky Lab Global IT Security Risk Survey, published in February, reported that a respectable 13% of more than 12,000 consumers across 22 countries had used cryptocurrency to pay for their online purchases. By early 2020, support for Bitcoin payments will be purportedly launched at over 25,000 sales points for 30 French retailers, including sportswear giant Decathlon and cosmetics store Sephora. Clues to explain yesterday's Bitcoin hash rate flash crash. The Bitcoin BTC network's hash rate suffered a mysterious flash crash on September 23, in a sudden intraday plummet from 98 millionth S to 57 million 700,000th S. By press time, levels have recovered back to 92,800,295th S yet remain shy of their recent record of 102,848,135 on September 18, as data from blockchain.com reveals. Rhyme or reason? As reported, this sharp, sudden drop broke the network's streak of new all-time high hash rates throughout summer 2019, sparking commentators' speculation as to what could have triggered the crash. One explanation has been proposed by a Cointelegraph reader signed as Jeff Brandt, who responded to coverage of the phenomenon with a theory that the temporary downturn in mining was connected with a move to update S9 ASIC miners from Bitmain ahead of the Bitcoin network's forthcoming difficulty increase. The next difficulty increase in 2 days will push previous Gen S9s, roughly 50% of the network, below profitability. Last week an unrestricted firmware for S9s was posted and every large farm operator is working at a feverish pace to get approximately 3 million machines updated. The new firmware has optimizations that squeeze the very last bit of efficiency out of the S9, lowering the watts/sec from 96W to approximately 80W. Some machines can perform with no degradation to speed, while older machines must drop performance by approximately 30% to achieve the same results. Statistical relics. Christopher Bendixson, head of research at digital asset manager CoinShares, has meanwhile attributed the sharp spike downward to a statistical relic, arguing that PSA, hashtag Bitcoin hash rate is not a known measure. It can only be estimated from previous block intervals. Block times are Poisson distributed, which sometimes causes large variance in block intervals. If several slow blocks happen in a row, it makes these estimates spike down. In a follow-up tweet, Bendixson clarified that the hard spikes both up and down on popular Bitcoin hash rate estimate graphs do not reflect real-world rapid growth or drops in hash rate levels, but are instead simply a relic of the inherent variance in POW mining. To prevent allegedly erroneous readings of this nature, Bendixson advocated using a 7- or 14-day average to read hash rate estimates, adding, "This is the exact reason why the Bitcoin protocol uses the average over 2016 blocks, 2 weeks at 10 meters blocks, in its difficulty adjustment algorithm." Back in November 2017, Bitcoin experienced a sudden downturn in hashing power of close to 50%, prompting fears at the time that miners could switch over to the forked network, Bitcoin Cash, BCH. SoFi launches zero-fee crypto trading for Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin. California-based financial firm SoFi has added zero-fee cryptocurrency trading to its platform SoFi Invest. According to an official announcement on September 25, crypto trading on SoFi Invest joins the list of previously introduced trading of stocks and exchange-traded funds. SoFi Invest now offers clients to buy three major cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, BTC, Ether, ETH, and Litecoin, LTC, with the firm claiming that users do not even need to set up a crypto wallet, according to the platform's website. Increased demand for crypto from clients. To welcome new crypto users on its platform, SoFi also offers a $25 bonus for those who sign up for a SoFi crypto entity account and purchase at least $10 worth of any cryptocurrency within 7 days. The offer expires on December 31, 2019, the firm noted. SoFi CEO Anthony Noto emphasized that the company's move was primarily triggered by the increased demand to trade crypto from its customers. Noto said in the announcement, "Feedback from our members has made it clear that a significant percentage are not only interested in learning more about cryptocurrencies but are also already buying and selling crypto. We're very pleased to be adding this new product to SoFi Invest, as access, education, and keeping costs low for our members is at the heart of what we do." Partnership with Coinbase. SoFi's plans to launch crypto trading were first revealed in February 2019, when the company announced its partnership with major United States-based crypto exchange Coinbase to roll out crypto trading support. According to a report by Fortune, SoFi will obtain cryptocurrencies to fulfill its customer orders from Coinbase. To date, SoFi Invest reportedly has more than 100,000 users, while the crypto trading option will initially not be available to some U.S. states, including New York and New Jersey, due to regulatory compliance issues. Kleiner Perkins backs $2 million seed round for crypto derivative data firm. Cryptocurrency data analytics startup SKU has raised $2 million in seed funding from several venture capital firms, including Silicon Valley icon Kleiner Perkins. Announced Wednesday, the seed round was led by London-based First Minute Capital, with participation from Seedcamp, Kima Ventures and QCP Capital. The company declined to disclose its valuation. The company's SKU analytics service, launched concurrently with the raise announcement, provides a real-time overview of crypto derivatives markets with more than 100 charts on crypto futures and options. A company of 10 employees, many from traditional finance, London-based SKU is building out features for institutional clients to visualize historical data as well as create dashboards and is hiring in engineering and eventually in distribution. "Where we want to focus is on corporates and institutions that need this data to run their business," SKU CEO and co-founder Emmanuel Goh told CoinDesk. "We have had heard concerns from interested traders and firms, and they would be able to generate backtest strategies from this data." Go and his co-founder Tim Noto worked as traders of flow derivatives and exotic options at JP Morgan Chase and Citi, respectively, before starting the company. The firm's analytics tools resemble the institutional-grade tools one would find for established products such as foreign exchange and equity, Monica Desai, an investing partner at Kleiner Perkins, told CoinDesk by email. As a former trader, I've found many of their tools, some forthcoming, to feel the most trading floor native or Bloomberg-esque, and am excited to see how they evolve the product as the crypto derivative space grows exponentially in the next year, said Desai, who used to manage bond portfolios at JP Morgan. Derivatives Day. Crypto derivatives took off in 2018 after the brutal market correction of 2017 and are showing a resurgence driven by institutional adoption, Go said. Swaps are being traded in the billions every day on offshore venues, and regulated entities are ramping up offerings. For example, CME plans to launch Bitcoin options in Q1 2019 and Intercontinental Exchange's Bitcoin futures platform Bakkt debuted Monday, though it didn't do much volume. Bakkt is the first time large institutions can build physical coins, Go said, referring to the fact that the futures contracts are settled in real Bitcoin rather than cash. It's going to be a moment of proof for the industry. While crypto derivatives markets are fragmented, SKU has contracted a number of licensing agreements with crypto exchanges. According to SKU's data, aggregated Bitcoin options have grown more than sixfold from last year's fourth quarter to $34.8 million this quarter. Bitcoin shopping app Fold raises $2.5 million to bring Lightning to retailers. The Lightning-friendly Fold app, which allows users to spend Bitcoin on goods like clothes and pizza and then earn Bitcoin back rewards, just added fiat capability after raising its first round as an independent startup. Fold product lead Will Reeves told CoinDesk the startup spun out of Thesis with a $2.5 million raise led by Kraft Ventures, CoinShares, Slow Ventures, Goldcrest Capital and Fulgur Ventures, among others. Reeves said that capital will go towards cementing partnerships, both in the cryptocurrency and retail space. We'll be rolling out subscription options for merchants and consumers soon that will provide premium services and highest rewards, Reeves said, adding, when people spend fiat at retailers, they will receive BTC rewards. They can spend those rewards or withdraw them to an on-chain address. In the future, we are releasing an update that allows people to withdraw rewards directly to Lightning, which will lower fees and make it more usable. In short, the app can be connected to a debit card for Bitcoin back on regular purchases through the app, or users can send Bitcoin to the Fold app from their independent wallets. A mobile Fold app with the full features currently available via desktop, Reeves added, is slated for launch in October. Until then, the mobile app is also available to users that sign up through Fold's website for early access. CoinShares co-founder Meltem Demirers told CoinDesk Fold app is unique, compared to other retail-focused Bitcoin apps, because it encourages users to use non-custodial wallets. I am excited to work not only with Fold, but also with our community of portfolio companies, corporate partners, and other service providers to build an integrated user experience around Bitcoin payments, she said. Lightning ecosystem. While there are several other retail-focused crypto apps gaining traction, like Lolli and Flexa, Fold is the most focused on Lightning payments. Fold app is already integrated with two Lightning-friendly wallets, Blue Wallet and Breeze. This is what attracted Fulgur Ventures partner Oleg Mikulski to the investment. We believe the Lightning Network has the ability to become an interesting payments rail for various applications due to features like instant final settlement, cost-efficient microtransactions, the ability to stream payments and the support of other assets over Lightning in the future, Mikulski told CoinDesk, adding, we, as investors, are in a learning mode as well. We're placing our bets on different types of applications and models and learning from them. Supporting startups that experiment with how to drive adoption is one of our priorities. Lolli told CoinDesk in July that it, too, was planning to eventually add Lightning options. So it remains to be seen how the retail app race will play out. In the meantime, Fold is offering a type of crypto training wheels to retailers like Macy's, Target, and Amazon. On the merchant side, they only see a payment processed by Fold, not the user's credit card or Bitcoin wallet address. This offers more privacy than directly shopping via the merchant's website. Fold then cashes out the payment for merchants, which typically choose to receive the value in fiat. We can settle in fiat or Bitcoin, yet all major merchants choose to settle in fiat now so they don't take volatility risk or accounting overhead, Reeves said, adding, Fold can seamlessly transition them when they are ready because we are already directly integrated into their point-of-sale systems. Crypto venture firm One Confirmation announces new $45 million fund. Venture capital firm One Confirmation is announcing a new $45 million fund for investing in cryptocurrency startups. Led by early Coinbase employee Nick Tomaino, the firm's first fund, focused on seed rounds, amounted to $26 million. We wanted to start off relatively small, prove out the model and raise more capital if the model was working, Tomaino told CoinDesk in an email. The model is working well and we had strong support from our existing limited partner base to launch a larger second fund. He says he's broadly optimistic about the crypto industry. In a blog post shared with CoinDesk in advance, Tomaino wrote, Today, the current total market value of crypto assets is $272 billion and investment speculation is the only mainstream use case. We think in the next 5 years, that total market value will surpass $1 trillion as the investment speculation use case continues to grow and other mainstream use cases emerge. One Confirmation has invested in a wide array of new companies in the industry, including Bloxroot, Tendermint, OpenSea and Commonwealth. The firm invests in both startup equity and cryptocurrency tokens. While Tomaino declined to detail participants in the new fund, he noted that it is largely backed by our existing fund ILPs. When One Confirmation was first announced, limited partners included Peter Thiel, Mark Andreessen, Balaji Srinivasan, Brendan Eich, Runa Capital and Real Ventures, among others. This larger fund will allow for the company to write larger checks while continuing to capitalize on being close to pioneers in the space, Tomaino told CoinDesk. He wrote in an email, For Fund I, our focus was providing early-stage capital for founders building infrastructure and middleware for the decentralized web. For Fund 2, we're continuing that focus with larger checks as a result of the larger fund. Fund 2 checks are generally between $1 million and $2 million, where Fund I checks were between $250,000 and $1 million. In his blog post, Tomaino emphasizes the importance of not chasing the trend so much as investing in focused, disciplined, mission-driven founders. Further, he predicts that Bitcoin will continue to be the market leader and that Ethereum will follow close behind, particularly as the platform for decentralized finance. Tomaino writes, While the story for ETH as a store of value is not as strong as the story for BTC as a store of value and a lot of Ethereum infrastructure challenges remain unsolved, we think that Ethereum as a platform for innovation is here to stay and ETH's future as internet money for open, inclusive financial products, aka DeFi, is bright. Bitcoin price risks drop to $7,500 after third biggest daily loss of 2019. View. BTC looks set to test support near $7,500, having confirmed a bearish reversal with a high-volume triangle breakdown on Tuesday. The cryptocurrency's violation of the historically strong 55-candle exponential moving average (MA) on the 3-day chart also favors a deeper price slide. The outlook would turn bullish if prices quickly rise above Tuesday's high of $9,782, although that looks unlikely at press time. Bitcoin fell sharply on Tuesday, confirming a bearish reversal and opening the doors for a test of crucial price support near $7,500. The leading cryptocurrency by market value ran into selling pressure around $9,700 in the early U.S. trading hours and fell to a 3.5-month low of $7,998 at 1945 Coordinated Universal Time on Bitstamp. BTC had been on slippery ground following Tuesday's volatility band breakdown. A widely followed indicator was also reporting the strongest a bear bias in 9 months, as discussed earlier this week. The price slide was likely exacerbated by a long squeeze, when investors square off or sell long positions to cut losses in a falling market, thereby creating further downward pressure on prices. So, while a price drop was expected, the magnitude of the sell-off has caught many by surprise. The cryptocurrency fell by 11.83% on Tuesday, 2019's third biggest single-day drop, as per Bitstamp data. BTC has seen double-digit daily losses four times this year. The biggest single-day loss of 2019 witnessed on June 27 marked a healthy correction from a 17-month high of $13,880 reached on the preceding day. The latest double-digit price slide has taken the cryptocurrency below major support levels. Therefore, a deeper drop towards $7,500, a level seen a week ahead of Facebook's launch of Libra, could be seen over the next few days. As of writing, BTC is changing hands around $8,400 on Bitstamp. It's worth noting the cryptocurrency is still up about 127% on a year-to-date basis. Bitcoin dived out a three-month contracting triangle on Tuesday, above left, confirming an end of the bull market, which had started from April's low near $4,000. Currently, prices are flirting with the 200-day moving average (MA) support at $8,309. That long-term MA has come into play for the first time since April and will likely be breached, as the post-triangle breakdown price drop looks to have legs. Volumes hit three-month highs on Tuesday. BTC, therefore, risks extending losses to support at $7,500 lows seen before Libra hype gripped the market in mid-June. Moreover, the triangle breakdown could yield a drop to $4,000 target as per the measured move method, as tweeted by Bitcoin skeptic and CEO of Euro Pacific Capital Peter Schiff. That target looks far-fetched, however. The monthly chart, above right, is also now teasing a bearish reversal. The cryptocurrency charted inside bar candlestick patterns in the previous 2 months, signaling an impending bullish to bearish trend change. The outlook as per the monthly chart would turn bearish only if prices close below $9,049, first inside bar's low, on September 30. That looks likely, with prices currently trading at $8,400 and the daily chart reporting a strong bearish setup. The bearish case would weaken if prices find acceptance above $9,097, a higher high created on May 30. The outlook would turn bullish if prices bounce from the 200-day MA and chart a quick V-shaped recovery to levels above Tuesday's high of $9,782. That, however, looks unlikely. BTC has found acceptance below the 55-candle exponential moving average, which served as a strong base during the 2016-2017 bull market. Back then, the cryptocurrency charted bullish higher lows along the key EMA, and not once did the sellers manage to secure a close below the crucial support. Hence, the latest close below the 55-candle EMA could be considered a strong bearish development. The 14-day relative strength index (RSI) is currently hovering below 23, its lowest level since November 2018. A reading below 30 indicates oversold conditions and suggests scope for a corrective bounce. That said, indicators can and do remain oversold for a prolonged period in a strong bearish market, especially when a sell-off is preceded by a major bout of consolidation. BTC was trapped in a narrow range for almost 3 months before breaking lower. In such situations, seasoned trades consider an oversold reading on the RSI as an indicator of trend strength. So, expecting a notable price bounce on the basis of the oversold reading on the RSI could prove costly. Backed slow start doesn't mean Bitcoin futures have flopped. Galen Moore is a member of the CoinDesk research team. The opinions expressed in this article are the author's own. The following article originally appeared in Institutional Crypto by CoinDesk, a weekly newsletter focused on institutional investment in crypto assets. Sign up for free here. It's a lively time for Bitcoin derivatives, or at least for those writing about them. For those trading them, it may be business as usual. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange, CME, announced Friday it is preparing to offer options trades on its Bitcoin futures contract. It's a surprising move, because options volume to date rounds to zero, as a percentage of reported volume in futures and swaps. Still, nobody in crypto has had an options counterparty as reliable as CME before. The announcement gives CME a way to offer options without having to build much anew. Why should it? CME's Bitcoin futures market represents a tiny percentage of its overall volume. Nevertheless, CME may be feeling a shade of anxiety about its leadership position in regulated crypto derivatives markets, with Bakkt rolling out a regulated Bitcoin futures contract this week that, unlike the Chicago exchanges, is settled in actual Bitcoin rather than cash. After all, other people in Chicago who trade a lot of Bitcoin seem to think physically settled futures are important. Maybe CME's announcement lets it steal a little of Bakkt's thunder. Speaking of Bakkt, its October 2019 monthly and daily contracts launched Monday. First day volume in the monthly contract was just 71 BTC. That's rather anemic, compared with the start of the CME product in December 2017, which isn't necessarily apples to apples, given CME futures launched near Bitcoin's all-time highs. The Bakkt one-day futures contract is the more intriguing product of the two. It could be anything from a CFTC-regulated fiat on-ramp to a duplicate of the popular BitMEX perpetual swap, if traders use its T+2 settlement to build a forward curve and continue to roll the contracts. So far, traders aren't. Volume in Bakkt's one-day futures was all of 2 BTC on Monday. Persistent myth. The first regulated Bitcoin futures came in December 2017, just before Bitcoin's price began a long slide down 83% from its all-time high. With volumes under $100 million, however, it would be hard to argue that futures trading brought sanity to the markets. Instead, it's more likely that slow demand for the new product punctured the myth of institutional demand for Bitcoin exposure, pent up behind compliance department's insistence on a regulated product. That myth is alive and well today among retail-focused crypto analysts, as a search for Bakkt volume fail will show you. If you were around in 2017, you didn't need time travel to know to short Bitcoin on Monday, you had seen this movie before. Even the least sober among us in 2019 recognize the obvious, that institutional investors' interest in Bitcoin is developing slowly, when it is developing at all. For institutional investors, derivatives offer readily understood solutions to operational obstacles related to custody, investability and risk. Regulated Bitcoin futures are structured the same as futures in, say, frozen concentrated orange juice. Still, today the lion's share of the volume is on unregulated exchanges that don't operate as clearinghouses and offer leverage up to 100x. These products could not be interesting to any regulated asset manager, but they are interesting. Despite persistent doubts as to the reliability of their reported volumes, especially with OKEX and Huobi, Bitcoin traders on the largest over-the-counter (OTC) trading desks know there is liquidity in these markets. Their hedging strategies rely on that liquidity. Other than that, volume on these leveraged trades is probably all crypto hedge funds and, as one trader put it to me, degenerate gamblers, trading on their own accounts. Bitcoin futures are structured much like orange juice concentrate futures, but everyone knows that orange juice concentrate, when mixed with more volatile things, can become rather flammable. There are important qualities that set Bitcoin apart from other asset categories, and these qualities of the underlying are taken into account by institutional investors evaluating Bitcoin derivatives. For example, there may not be natural hedges in a Bitcoin futures market. If you don't believe that, compare global operating expenditure for gold miners to those of Bitcoin miners. This isn't Kansas. Road ahead. Derivatives may be gold bricks paving the road to institutional investment in Bitcoin, but it's a long way to the Emerald City. Right now, the CME futures volume is as good a guide as any to investors progress along that road. You may have seen charts showing the rise in CME volumes in May. That rise also coincided with a twofold increase in the price of Bitcoin. Measured in Bitcoin terms, CME futures volume surged in July and is now back trading at a modest growth rate over Q1 levels. Meanwhile, no fewer than four other startups are readying new derivatives offerings for the U.S. institutional and other regulated markets. All are focused on physical settlement. It remains to be seen whether physical delivery will be a feature that compels market participation. It's not always very important in derivatives built on other asset categories. One thing appears certain, no new financial instrument is likely to unlock institutional demand, as most institutions are only beginning to answer the question of why they would invest in Bitcoin in the first place. Barclays hackathon to attack data silos with blockchain. Barclays is holding another hackathon to tackle the financial services industry's perennial problem of systems that don't talk to each other. Once again, blockchain will take center stage. The second annual DeriviHack 2019 will take place October 16-17 in Barclays Rise Accelerator Spaces in London and New York, sites of last year's 48-hour coding marathon, and in the Megabank's Singapore office this time as well. The event is outgrowing its name, as equities and bonds will be added to the mix of financial instruments involved. As in previous years, the aim of the hackathon is to explore ways the International Swaps and Derivatives Association's ISDA Common Domain Model CDM can be implemented using various programming languages and applied to a range of platforms, including blockchain and distributed ledger technology DLT. About 50 teams of four coders each, representing banks, financial infrastructure providers and financial technology firms, will compete to produce the best solutions. There will be 4 to 6 judges at each of the three locations, comprising senior representatives from Barclays, other banks, market infrastructures, trade associations, and universities. 3 prizes will be awarded at each of the three locations for first, second, and third place. In addition to ISDA, Barclays has assembled a range of partners to support the hackathon, including the likes of R3 for Corda platform support and Digital Asset for DAML programming support. Other partners include DBS Bank in Singapore, U.S. Central Securities Depository DTCC, the International Capital Market Association ICMA, and Regnesis, a post-trade platform tailored to the CDM. Plus, Big Four audit firm EY will produce an independent report on the event. Teams looking to participate can sign up here. Sunil Chawla from the business architect team at Barclays talked through some of the philosophy behind the event, pointing out that product classes within financial services have evolved organically over time and so banks, buy-side firms and utilities had to support the growth through product-specific solutions. Chawla told CoinDesk, "The idea is to demonstrate through the CDM that these products can actually co-mingle and a standard can cut across them to direct the industry in terms of cross-asset, cross-product solutions rather than siloed investments." Chawla said the hackathon will also help Barclays and other banks evaluate the CDM against their internal models and weigh up variations such as applications using CDM natively, shared repositories of data in CDM format, and even hybrid models. The hackathon is like a capsule of accelerated industry feedback, achieving in 2 intense days what may otherwise take years to occur organically, he said. Lingua Franca. Dr. Lee Brain from the Chief Technology and Innovation Office at Barclays said that staff from across the bank were supporting the event, bringing together its strategy, business architecture, technology, innovation, and delivery teams. This even included a Barclays summer intern writing a program to generate the test trades that will be used as input data by the hackathon participants. They constructed a market model with corresponding business process, use cases and test data in order to allow hackathon participants to work on challenges that are truly at the leading edge of best practice thinking, Brain said. Teams will be free to choose whatever technology platform they prefer, not only the one supporting the event, and this will also inform the sorts of languages they might select, he said. For instance, people may want to use Java or Kotlin to code workflows on Corda. Or they may choose DAML to code rights and obligations in a domain-specific language, working at a high level of abstraction that could even be independent of whether there happens to be a distributed ledger or a centralized database underneath. Alternatively, teams could opt for another blockchain platform, such as Hyperledger Fabric or Ethereum, or a more traditional software stack. There are pros and cons with all programming languages and platforms, and we think it will be the same here. Factors are likely to include the speed of development, the elegance and simplicity of the solution, understandability, robustness, and so on. The idea behind the ISDA CDM, said Brain, is to establish a common standard for post-trade business logic and data that is agnostic of any specific technology, permitting the standard to be implemented in potentially any programming language on any platform. Since many banks are looking for third-party utilities to take on more post-trade processing tasks, the more standardization that can be brought to the space, the better, he said, concluding, once you get agreement on the event processes and data structures, that solves most of the problem. The next question is then around which platform and which programming language. Well, that's a key point of the hackathon. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.